Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
We were tasked with designing a plant to, number one, get the effluent out of the river, and two, create a brand new plant and expand capacity. We're going to show you a 3 million gallon plant project and a 4 million gallon disposal project. We got the 3 million, we have disposal area for that. We're right there. We just need to make sure we get off of go. Or, if it's your desire, we will go back and spend millions more on design and permitting. But this is what you charged us to do, and we're ready. We're ready to deliver.
So, again, if you're new to the conversation or haven't been listening today or for the years we've been talking about the new wastewater treatment plant in the city of Milton, here's the shortest version of this I can give. The current wastewater treatment plant located downtown discharges treated effluent, which is almost drinkable but not supposed to, I mean, it's not really what it is, into the Blackwater River. That's been the norm for a long time. The DEP says you got to move it out of the Blackwater River. They originally had a very close deadline. In fact, gosh, was that even last December or this? I forget. I think it was maybe last December. But then they changed and they pushed that back a little bit in line with the rest of the state. But in the scramble, okay, there was a first plan to build a wastewater treatment plant over by the sheriff's office, roughly, a little to the west of there. And then the local folks who live right there on that part of the water and some other folks who call themselves Save Our Blackwater, they pitched a fit. They joined forces with the Pitchfork Posse folks. A lot of them were the same people. And they complained about this plan, and they essentially won an election over it. And they stopped and killed that plan that was ready to go. That was plan one. Fundraised, ready to go. In the $50 million vicinity. And then they quit that plan, and so they were asked, what do we do? Well, we got told they had this meeting in December right after the election. They swept into power, and they killed that plan after all the work had been done, and said, let's come back. And they were told, okay, what do you want to do? We can start with a blank piece of paper and do whatever you want, but that will take more time and more money, or we can take the existing plan that you don't want the location of but is a good plan for wastewater treatment plant. Let's just move it with spray fields to the east. And so that's what they voted on. Go fast, you know, save money, save time, go fast. Then, now that we're about ready to do that plan, finally, the workers have all come together with a great solution. They've done everything they can do to this point, but they're approaching the city council and saying, are we ready? Because you got to commit like 20-some million dollars of reserves to make this happen. You can either spend that on kind of remediating the old plant and getting the wastewater over to the new location, or you can actually invest it in a comprehensive solution for which we need to go raise money, which is going to wind up costing us $120, $140 million altogether. Yes, the delay has cost us triple the original price. So decide who to blame. Elections are this fall. if you want names, I'll give them to you. Anyway, now they've got the second plan. And Mike Cusack was raising concerns about the second plan because the Save Our Blackwater Pitchfork Posse people were raising concerns about that. Not about the whole thing, but about pieces of it. And basically, you know, Ed Spears is like, bro, you got us here. We're here. If we wait again, we will not be able to go get funding again. We will be screwed, essentially. We cannot go make this thing happen if you say no again. So now we're here. Please say yes. Heather Lindsay?
Saying that tonight, you're ready for us to move forward and have basically a 3 million gallon per day project.
That's correct.
But if council would like to explore some creative options to move in a couple of different ways, then we would not be able to tell the funders, yes, we have 3 million gallons per day disposal. And it would put things on pause and potentially jeopardize some of the funding that is coming? Is that what you were trying to set?
The $16.9 million we would absolutely lose. And we could not apply for any additional funding until we have a complete project again.
Yeah, I mean, we could stop at this point. It would cost us credibility, but, and going back to funders, it's going to cost us a ton. And we lose the opportunity to do this again. Robert Leake, so Heather Lindsay's right about that, and she understands. Robert Leake, another city council member.
I do remember the December 19th meeting, and
that's the meeting at which they decided to go fast, save time and money, and that might mean missing out on some opportunities or some creative solutions. That's the meeting that Mike Cusack suddenly can't remember. I should start calling him Amnesia Mike, but I have so much to say about Mike Cusack. Mike Cusack is the guy that when I was looking for public records related to the Scott Collins hire, his answer was get a court order because he didn't understand what public records were on his phone and then deleted them. Caught an ethics charge over it. And just like, you know, always thinks he knows everything about everything and he's the smartest guy in the room compared to the engineers or the staffers and insults them half the time. And just anyway, I'm tired of the Mike Cusack show, frankly. Anyway, Robert Leake.
You know, I do agree with Ed. You know, we did vote unanimously to fast track this using all methods that the previous council explored. We were given the option to stop everything and explore these options. And we chose not to take that because it was so expensive. We chose to continue down the path that the city was already taking and just move the plant.
And that's exactly right. He's like, I remember that meeting because he was newly into office at that time. And that's exactly what they decided to do. We'll come back to this in a second because this has, I mean, we're talking about $120, $140 million project. We're talking about a huge, think if you live in Escambia County, think about the debate over the move of the, you know, old stinky up to Cantonment and the money, the cost, the design, the, I mean, wild unicorn of a facility that is and all the effort that went into it and all the controversy around it. Same thing Santa Rosa is going through, at least Milton's going through right now, for a massively expensive project for them that is very, very important to get done. Everybody seems to know that, again, except for the opponents who always seem to find a way to be against. 716 on News Radio 92.3, Jordan's got traffic for us. Jordan?
Yeah, it looks like we do have a little bit of a slowdown happening on Blue Angel and Mobile Highway right there around the Circle K. No accident being reported at this point in time. I think it's probably just some morning traffic, so just be prepared for that as you're passing through. Again, that is Blue Angel and Mobile Highway. If you see anything else, let us know, 850-437-1620. I'm Jordan with your traffic on the fives.
Speaking of just passing through, let's talk about wastewater for a second. I feel very conflicted about that particular choice.
Boo.
Yes, I deserve it. No, Pam Mitchell is one of the Pitchfork Posse people. She lives over there on Cooper's Basin. She was one of the key opponents of the original plan. So, you know, again, if you want to find people to blame for the cost increase, I mean, she certainly takes some of that. Now, she's, you know, thinks they're saving the Blackwater River. So in her mind, that's their perspective. I don't want to make it so that she doesn't have a view. But she asks a question because one of the parts of this new plan is the treated effluent, as in that goes into the Blackwater right now from the downtown plant, is going to get piped underneath the Blackwater River to the spray fields that are going to get used by the new wastewater treatment plant until the wastewater treatment plant gets built. Then it's going to convert those pipes over to transporting raw sewage or sewage water or dirty water, depending on how you want to describe it, to the plant to be treated and then into the spray fields. So they're building a kind of a double purpose pipe underneath the Blackwater River. And she asks a question, which I understand this question. It's based on a confusion. I'll explain when you get done, but it's kind of a funny question.
Okay. It puzzles me that we're saying that that's for future use because the plant can't operate until you have a method of getting the poop to the plant. And I know that you were saying there would be water in the pipe, but it's actually sewage, I believe.
Wrong.
So why is that a future thing when we have to have the poop for the plant to work? So maybe I just don't understand that.
For no other reason than the fact that when a grown woman uses the word poop twice in the city council meeting, I'm going to play that clip. You know for sure I'm going to. But actually, the reasoning is very interesting here. I learned this because I recently did a tour of the Cantonment facility, and I haven't played any of that stuff for you. I will. It's very interesting. But one of the things I learned and did not know is, let's be as gross as we want to be about it. Jordan, I'm going to ask you a question. You get to play man on the radio.
Okay.
You're a 35-year-old man.
Yes.
You've lived enough life. You should know some things.
I've pooped a couple of times.
There you go. You should know where it goes. All right. So when water is lift station pumps water, that's what it does. It's a water pump. And it pumps water up a hill or across a distance. You understand that takes a certain amount of power.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Wastewater, the stuff that exits your house through your toilet, through your drain, okay? In your brain, what do you picture that as going through the pipe?
So the first thing that popped in my head was like on the Jetsons when they're in the little tubes.
Uh-huh.
They're just flying around. Yeah.
And, okay, but is it how liquidy is it?
Oh, I've never had that thought.
You picture it like it's mud, don't you?
Yeah.
You picture it it's real watery mud.
Yeah.
It's not.
Okay.
It's almost entirely water.
Okay.
Think about how much water goes down when you flush your toilet. How much water versus how much other stuff.
Right.
Mostly water by far.
Yeah.
When you're running water through your sink, there's some stuff that you grind in the garbage disposal, but mostly water
mostly
by
water,
far.
Yeah.
So the difference in pumping treated effluent water
mm-hmm.
versus, you know, raw water or sewage water is almost no difference. What comes to the wastewater treatment plant is basically water with some bad stuff in it. It's just, it's not like what you think of as in the bottom of the porta potty. It's not like what you think of. I mean, what you think is not what it is. So that's why they can use the same pipe to do both things, to do both job one and job two. Come on. I mean, if you can't make jokes about sex and poo, you can't have fun on the radio. You know, what are you going to do?
Okay. It puzzles me that we're saying that that's for future use because the plant can't operate until you have a method of getting the poop to the plant.
Just makes me laugh to play.
Yeah.
All right. So they're having an argument then about, you know, well, what about man-made wetlands? We can do better at processing the treated effluent instead of a spray field. Let's build a wetland. Jeff Ates and Pam Mitchell both offering this as an alternative, which it's true. That is definitely something that can be done. It's done, you know, by the ECUA facility. If you have the space or even if you don't, if you build wetlands, you know, because plants use a lot of water and they can handle the treated effluent. I mean, what we're doing with spray field is largely the same thing if we're going to have sod out there versus retention ponds. Anyway, all of these programs make use of some kind of living matter to process the water. But they're trying to throw a wrench in or they're trying to do something that would solve a problem perceived. However you want. I don't want to be uncharitable, okay? So Howard Steele has got to be one of my favorite people in Milton because he's the guy who's going to say what I'm thinking the whole time. I didn't play you all the clips of the people raising questions and objections and things like this, but here comes Howard Steele.
Howard Steele, Saratoga Avenue, City of Milton. I'm hearing one excuse after another why this plant is going to be delayed or why somebody wants this plant delayed. I'm hearing it with the questions from the council. It's one excuse after another. It's time for this plant to move forward. It is time to quit wasting money. It's time to quit delaying this project so the city of Milton will have to spend more money in 2 years or 3 years. It's time to stop. It is time to start listening to your design experts for once and for all.
Yes.
Let them go through the permitting process. They are the experts. They have other experts that listen to them that permit this project. And here you are, you're listening to self-proclaimed know-it-alls.
That's right.
That have no authority, they bring nothing to the table that says we are an authoritative body. Here are our reasons, nothing.
No credentials.
Let them handle it. It is not for you to figure out all the details. You are not the experts. They are the experts.
And that's why, if you listen to the 6 o'clock hour, that's why I played you all those clips from Rick Delp and Paul DeMoss, because they're there to answer. And it's not, I mean, good experts have answers, but stop pretending that they don't have answers. Like, the way BDI was treated on the first round of this was just terrible. Like, the citizens and Mike Cusack know better than the engineers. Come on, man. It's just so silly. Anyway, so Howard's exactly right. You guys don't know. Stop listening to the people who don't know, even though you are politically beholden to them because they got you elected.
I've had enough. The people of Milton have had enough. This board delayed the previous project and blamed it on the incompetence of the previous board or the previous council. Well, it's time for you to stand up and say, we are moving forward. We're not going to be bullied. We're not going to take on any political pressure. We're not going to accept what political pressure that your supporters may have put on you.
That's sure.
I'm not going to accept it anymore. You can be upset with me. You can remove me from the Community Improvement Board if you'd like. You can remove me from the Board of Adjustments if you'd like. But I'm going to stand here and tell you it's time to stop holding the people of Milton hostage. Thank you.
Thank you for your public input.
And by the way, remember, they did threaten to remove him from boards and things because they didn't like the way he was talking. They created this whole civility code, the Howard Steele rules, to try to get people to be nicer in the public forum. I'm like, which there's a whole separate issue we could talk about there with the constant praising by the Pitchfork posse of the new council and how collegial they are. Yeah, because they all agree with each other. And you guys were the loudest, most obnoxious people when you didn't agree with council, and then you get to be in power and you want everybody to be nice. And anyway, some of the hypocrisy is crazy. So in the end, here's the good news. In the end, presented with the option of punt, spend more money, wait, and do nothing, and hope we can ever get this project in the future, they didn't. They unanimously voted, even with Mike Husak, they unanimously voted to go forward with committing the funds to this project. So we are actually working on a wastewater treatment plant for Milton, 3 million gallons per day or 4 million gallons today per day, 120 versus 118 versus 140 kind of vicinity price tag difference. They're going to later decide which one after they bid them out, but that's where we are at. So that's good news. The takeaway is good news. Jordan Glass has traffic on the fives.
Yeah, we do have a text here. Looks like there is a stalled car in the eastbound lane of Fairfield right before W Street, and that is causing some backups towards the Warrington Spur. So if you're on Fairfield around W Street, do expect some slowdowns due to that stalled vehicle. If you see anything else, let us know, 850-437-1620. I'm Jordan with your traffic on the fives.
By the way, if you like those sweet tones, you can always catch Jordan Glass on the Glass Half Full.
That's right.
Which is 9 to 10 daily on Sports Radio Pensacola 99.9. Live local sports show that he does right after his work over on Cat Country, normally doing traffic in the mornings.
That's right. We'll have your Game 3 recap coming up at 9.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality used cars. Cars that have had one owner, typically, maybe two, but they're, 1 to 3, maybe 4 years young, 10 to 30 or 40,000 miles. They warranty them to 10 years or 100,000 miles. They will take care of you. They're only going to sell you good quality cars. How do I know? Because that's all they buy. That's what they buy to sell is good quality cars. We bought one from them a few years ago. They actually called me 6 months after we bought the Honda Odyssey to make sure everything was okay. I'm like, yeah, this is fine. I already bought a car. What more do you want? a year after we bought the car, Calvin, my sales guy, called me again. Is there anything wrong with the car? And again, I was kind of like, why are you bothering me? But I thought, well, one of the physical keys doesn't work, He's like, well, bring it in. We'll replace it. And in my head, I'm thinking, I bet you will for $150. And I'm like, well, how much? He's like, no, on us. You bought a car, you expect two keys. You get two keys. I brought it in. They fixed it. 10 minutes later, I was done. A year after we bought the car, based on a problem they found because they called me. Who does that? Well, Frontier does that because they want to make sure you're happy so you come back. And I will come back again and again to Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you feeling strong? Isaiah 40:29 indicates that God only gives strength to those that know they're weak. Muhammad Ali, the famous boxing champion, was about to fly on a commercial airplane when the stewardess asked all the passengers to be seated and buckle their seatbelts. Ali said to the stewardess, "Don't you know who I am?" He went on to say, "I'm Superman, and Superman doesn't need a seatbelt." The stewardess replied, "Well, Superman doesn't need a plane either. Now sit down and buckle up." The application for you and me is that we're not as strong as we think we are. I encourage you to recognize your weakness and call upon God humbly to ask Him for a fresh dose of His lasting strength.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Pensacola's hurricane coverage headquarters is News Radio 92.3. With wall-to-wall coverage before, during, and after.
through storms.
You're hit. You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
Let it flow. Let your stuff go. Slow and low. That is the tempo.
All right, at the risk of wounding my age ego again, Jordan Glass, do you recognize the clip from the movie Predator?
I did recognize that one, yeah.
Okay, and you do know who Jesse Ventura was.
I do, yeah.
All right, fair enough. I'll take it. I'll take the win. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning. Israel launched new airstrikes on the Lebanese city of Tyre this morning after President Trump said the U.S. and Iran were close to a deal to end the conflict. Feel like I've heard that before. The Israeli military issued evacuation warnings, and the renewed attacks, of course, come one day after Israel and Iran exchanged strikes before stepping back from further escalation.
I like Iran. It's like somewhere between Iran and Bahrain, and
I know not what I say sometimes.
Somewhere Kamala Harris approves.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Voters going to the polls in Maine for its primary.
Democrats essentially facing off against themselves as to whether or not to support this controversial candidate, Graham Plattner, an oysterman, a Marine, an Army veteran. He's also facing a slew of scandals here. The latest rough headline comes via Plattner's former political director, titled, "I know firsthand why Graham Plattner shouldn't be a U.S. Senator."
Fox's Marley Line reporting from Portland. Primaries also taking place in South Carolina, Nevada, and North Dakota. President Trump pushes for peace with Iran, saying it could come in a few days. Meanwhile,
CENTCOM gave an update on those two helicopter crew members that were lost at sea. We're told that they were rescued by American forces after their helicopter went down.
That's Fox's Aisha Hajni at the White House. U.S. Central Command says those soldiers are in stable condition. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 78 degrees right now, cloudy skies. We'll get a look at our forecast with Marion Caldwell. That's up in just a few minutes. Well, two shark attacks have been reported along the Gulf Coast the last few days. On Friday, a fisherman at Fort Pickens was life-flighted to the hospital after being bitten by a bull shark that he'd hooked. His injuries were considered non-life-threatening. Then Sunday, another shark encounter along the coast at NSA Panama City at their MWR Marina. And the victim there was taken to a hospital. Shark attacks in the Pensacola area, of course, are rare. Only six confirmed unprovoked attacks have been recorded in Escambia County since 1882. Two Century Correctional Institution staff members have been assaulted by inmates in separate incidents. The Florida Department of Corrections says Lamon Robinson grabbed a staff member and John Lance struck a staff member. Neither employee was injured. Both inmates now face additional charges. Robinson serving a 2-year sentence for robbery and Lance a 3-year sentence for methamphetamine possession. Well, 57 Pensacola Children's Chorus singers are getting the opportunity of a lifetime. They'll be performing at one of the world's most famous venues, Carnegie Hall in New York City, representing Northwest Florida with other youth choirs from across the nation as part of the National Youth Choir.
I'm very excited, but I'm even more excited for the incredible singers that are coming together to make some really great music, send some really wonderful messages, and it's going to be a pretty exciting and whirlwind trip.
Children's Chorus Artistic and Executive Director Alex Gardner. 14 of the singers are participating with support from the Escambia Children's Trust. They're also having a free community send-off concert this Thursday, June 11th at 6:30 p.m. at the First Baptist Church of Pensacola. Well, Congressman Jimmy Patronis and the Florida Attorney General James Uthmeyer are hosting a free telephone town hall tonight at 6 p.m., to discuss the growing dangers of artificial intelligence chatbots.
And the number you want to dial is 833-305-1733. We'll be posting on my social media. We will be proactively calling, like when we typically do the town hall, we call somewhere between 6,000 and 8,000 phones.
Okay, wow.
And so you can just literally just answer your phone and be plugged right in.
Patrona says AI chatbots are befriending users in ways that nobody's really monitoring, and particularly when it comes to mental health, where the platforms validate rather than challenge users. He says people who are already struggling can have their worst thinking reinforced rather than corrected. Again, that telephone town hall is at 6 p.m. tonight. It is 7:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a quick check on our forecast with Marion Caldwell.
A warm and muggy start to this Tuesday morning with temperatures in the 70s under mostly cloudy skies. The afternoon will feature even warmer weather. Highs climb into the upper 80s, but feeling a lot warmer than that when you factor in the humidity. Seeing partly sunny conditions with the chance for just an isolated shower this afternoon. Meteorologist Marion Caldwell, we are WEAR First Warning Weather Forecast.
78, cloudy skies, 7:35. Now let's check in with Jordan, who's got our traffic on the fives.
Yeah, we still got that stalled vehicle that is at Fairfield and W Street causing backups towards the Warrington Spur. So keep an eye out for that. And if you see anything else, let us know. 850-437-1620. I'm Jordan with your traffic on the fives.
And it's 7:35. Your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Harvey with your money now. Executive Vice President Stella Lee said on CNBC that BYD expects China's electric vehicle market to grow further, eventually comprising 80% of sales. Lee's statements come as Chinese demand for gas-powered cars has slowed on rising fuel costs, and as BYD halted a protracted sales slump in May. China's trade growth held better than expected in May. Customs data says that overall exports rose by 19.4% from a year earlier in U.S. dollar value terms, accelerating from the 14.1% gain in April. Economists polled by Reuters had pegged growth at 15%. NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang has declined Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren's invitation to testify before the Senate Banking Committee at a June 11th hearing on AI as well as China and U.S. technological dominance. Warren criticized Huang's decision, saying the American people deserve answers in a public forum. Futures are moderately higher as oil prices drop. That's your money now.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, 1211, a radiant, energetic, and dynamic pop R&B band with a vast range of cathartic and dance-worthy songs, warm vocals, an infectious groove, and fresh sound. This week at Bands on the Beach, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Strike at any time.
At any time.
Again, we are dealing with a tornado warning right now. This is going to be in Santa Rosa County.
At any time.
And Steve, you're looking at the radar. What are you seeing right now?
What you need to know.
Well, on the News Radio ThreatNet radar, the showers are covering the entire north part of Escambia County, moving into the downtown area.
Severe weather can strike at any time.
What you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you much, baby. Why can't you see?
Good morning, 7:39 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us in studio here, by the way, sorry about that glitch there in the beginning. That was my fault. Chip Simmons is the Escambia County Sheriff, and he joins us now. Chip, let's start with this. Thankfully, haven't had a lot of terrible news in the last week. I mean, you guys are always active. I know you're very, very busy, but, you know, the stories that percolate up to, you know, we talk about them on the radio. Haven't had a lot of those. Let's start with one that's just kind of weird. We had a guy, I guess end of May, confronted a woman with her kid outside a church and, you know, then offered her a hug and she said no, and then started grabbing the kid and kissing the kid, a three-year-old all over him, and then she was wrestling with this guy to get the kid away from him for like a minute, which is a long time. A minute-long struggle is a lot of time. People don't realize.
Yeah, a minute. You know, if you try to hold your breath for a minute,
yeah,
you know, and understand how long that can be. But this is, you know, talk about being a weirdo. Leave our kids alone.
Yeah,
leave. You know, I don't know what I would do. You if you don't leave my child alone, you're liable to get punched.
Yeah,
that's just the way it is.
Crazy weird story. And other than that, we did have the a guy hallucinated inside his own apartment and started shooting the gun.
Yeah, he thought there was people or things inside his apartment that were a danger to him or a threat to him, and he started shooting his gun, and the bullets went through his wall into the adjacent apartment.
As they do.
Fortunately, the apartment was unoccupied.
Yeah,
there's probably not a renter there, from what I understand. But yeah, so we took him to jail, and I'm certain he'll be evaluated. I don't know if the hallucinations were self-inflicted drugs,
yeah,
or if it was some other episode that he was having.
I mean, I assume your deputies in talking to him felt like he really believed it, or do they feel like the story, not just the wall, had holes? Do they feel like the story had holes too?
No, I believe that they think that he believed it.
Okay.
It seemed.
So then it's more Baker Act material, right, than.
Well, it doesn't mean you didn't commit a crime.
Okay, fair enough.
It means that you can certainly be evaluated at the jail. You can be evaluated after if you get out of jail. Also.
And if you're Baker Acted, I don't remember what is the law on gun possession. If you're Baker Acted, would he lose possession of the gun if he's not convicted of anything? But just Baker Acted, when do you lose possession based on that? I just don't remember the rules.
I think you have to be found incompetent.
Okay. Adjudicated incompetent.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I think just being Baker Acted, and I could be wrong, but I'll double check. But my understanding is just being Baker Acted, because there's a number of reasons to be Baker Acted.
Right.
And that doesn't automatically disqualify you from
some of them maybe temporary, for example, and then, you know, that would not apply long term. Okay.
Right.
Very, very good. I thought it was kind of an interesting story. Oakwood Terrace. First of all, I did not realize Oakwood Terrace had 1,600 kids.
That seems like a lot of kids. I was surprised to hear the number as well.
That's like a full-blown high school of kids in one, which seems like an awful lot, but okay, I'll take the number for granted. Trying to do summer programs to keep these kids occupied and entertained and active and learning and not just out, you know, twiddling their thumbs or breaking into cars or whatever things people do. You get into trouble because kids get into trouble in the summer if they're not supervised, right? And I like this idea. You guys, it seems like a good Children's Trust plan, you know, something that they would certainly fit funding for. Have you guys, I mean, you love children's programs. You love giving kids things to do. Your whole, you know, community outreach stuff is about that.
We certainly believe that giving children something to do and something educational, something that they can learn from and grow from, I think is certainly a good idea. So anytime someone's wanting to do these things, I would, again, you know, kind of my thoughts on the Children's Trust.
Yep.
I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of all the programs that they fund, but I think that you're right. I think that if there's some things they can fund, this seems like a good one.
Yeah.
Now, again, only if it's properly managed and the money is used in accordance and whoever's running it isn't making $200,000 a year, all that sort of thing. But any program, I believe, that gives a kid something to do, as I said, and is educational, is beneficial.
You know, I have a weird question. I know you may not have the answer to this.
That's the first. You snored.
First time you've ever lied on my show, yeah, calling that a first. Yeah, it meant sarcasm, but okay, fair enough. You know, Commissioner Kohler, talking about the Children's Trust, went through a whole litany of examples of how expensive it is to do these children's programs on a per child basis, and generally they were in the $3,000-$5,000 per child for, I guess, a year, you know, I guess, anyway, which, you know, is a lot in a sense, but also if you actually divert a child can be, I mean, I'll put that money into a child's life. I just didn't know if you had any figure for the cost of the Blazer Academy. Obviously, a very successful program, uniquely capable for you guys to do it, and I'm sure your deputies volunteer, so it's not a paid thing. But do you have even ballpark what that costs you guys to put on per kid?
Yeah, early on
and it's a foundation thing, not a sheriff's office thing.
Yeah, it is. So there's a couple things here. One is that we initially had the projection as about $1,000.
Okay,
as for the food and the time and the clothes that they get and that sort of thing. It probably falls a bit short of that.
Okay.
Now as we get better at it. But let me point out that the Skamby County Sheriff Foundation does fund this. We do have some sponsors for lunches and some meals.
Okay.
And they're doing really well with that. But a lot of it is the meal, the late meal. That's where a lot of the cost goes into, the last meal, the fine dining
experience
that they have. But I will tell you that the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation has zero overhead. We do not have a CEO that makes a dime. And so it makes it easier for us to go and talk to people and say, can you donate? Because we're not paying ourselves anything.
It's 100% to programs. It is, yeah.
Every dime that you donate to the Sheriff Foundation goes towards these programs. Sometimes it's employee wellness, but sometimes it's Blizzard Academy and Dream Big program or the movie night program or those sorts of things that we do.
And just suffice it to say that if you had any kind of administrative overhead or if you had to pay deputies or any staff to do the program, that cost would be tremendously different. So, you know, $1,000 is because of a lot of the things you're able to do.
Yeah, and that's an early projection. Again,
I was just curious.
Much less than that. That's why when I heard those numbers, I was shocked as well. But again, I don't know. I haven't dug into it, so it's just an initial reaction to the numbers.
Same. We're talking to Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Hang on for just a second, Sheriff. We got Jordan Glass, traffic on the fives.
Yeah, roads right now not too bad. We're not seeing any major accidents or slowdowns. But if you do, let us know. 850-437-1620. I'm Jordan with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jordan. Now, Sheriff, this is the story that nobody wants to talk about, nobody wants to think about. It's the most atrocious thing. And it's not a Escambia County story, but I know you have things you want to be sure to tell people. Yesterday, we got the terrible news that a family with two daughters, 5 and 8, that they were missing. And they did exactly what you're supposed to do, is call the police immediately. Do not wait. There's no 24 or 48-hour rule. Call the police immediately. Police come. They're searching everywhere. And the most horrible outcome you can imagine, they wind up finding these two daughters. They died of drowning, it looks like, in the neighbor's pool. The neighbor had a fence. The neighbor had a lock on the fence. It doesn't look initially like the neighbor did anything wrong. It's just the things that kids can do when they get 15 seconds away from supervision, you know. I had my own son when he was a toddler. I remember he fell in the pool and we were at a neighbor's for a party and we were all right there and somebody dove in and grabbed him. And I would have if he hadn't been 5 feet closer.
Right.
And it was terrifying. Yes. And that was surrounded by adults. You guys encounter children all the time. Not all the time, thank God, but enough of the time. What do you want to tell the citizens? Again, I know it's a Pensacola City case, but you know, your heart, I'm sure, is just devastated.
It is. You know, I read it, and I'm just heartbroken, as everyone is that reads it. Or hears about it. I certainly don't know the family that I'm aware of, but what they must be going through. I know that in my experience as a police chief and as the sheriff now, I hear radio. I'm sitting in a parking lot listening to the radio, and oftentimes we do have a missing child. They can't find them. I think there was one a couple days ago that they fell asleep under the bed. You know, but you panic. Any parent knows whether you're at a store or at home and something, it's too quiet. It's too quiet. Where's that child? And I know a lot of times we tell people, go to a body of water first, look there first, and then you work your way.
Because that's the biggest danger.
Because that's the most immediate danger. Yeah. And again, obviously I'm not blaming anyone. These parents are going to be dealing with this for the rest of life. I'm not sure how you can completely get over this.
Yeah.
But it's just terribly devastating. And some people were making fun. We had a billboard that said water safety starts with you. And over the years, we've been going to a lot of these calls where someone had fallen into the pool, and fortunately a lot of them survive. But man, it's just difficult to deal with. And my heart goes out not just to the family, but to the officers, to the EMS personnel that tried. You know they tried.
Yeah.
They did everything they could. The emergency ER, mm-hmm. emergency room physicians and nurses, you know they tried. And they have to go home and try to get this out of their mind. And again, the family will not. But even the first responders are going to have to probably, you know, need to talk to somebody and get some closure.
Worst calls that you respond to, I have to imagine. And as you say, I can't imagine being the paramedic. I can't imagine being the doctor in the ER and having to pronounce just all of it. If medical examiner is going to have to,
And to even see and interact with the family, because you have to get information. You have to get, you know, show obviously some humanity here.
Yeah.
But you also have to get the information and what is clearly the worst day of their life.
Yeah,
and their surrounding family and their neighbors and everyone is just in a bad way.
I wanted to switch gears a little bit and talk with you. Yesterday, as you know, Sheriff Bob Johnson was on, and I often ask you guys the same questions because they're kind of addressed both of you, and I want to get your different perspectives. I was asking about the property tax referendum. And first of all, we know that people don't understand it, which is clear. But he said, look, I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm saying people often don't. He said, look, if this happens, I'm going to have to cut deputies. He doesn't see any way that's not true. And I wanted to give you a chance to talk because you and I have talked a little bit about it, but we haven't talked specifically about the proposal since the one that got amended has passed. What do you think will happen if if voters pass this, it will apply to Escambia County. It'll be like a $90 million hit to the budget. What do you anticipate happening?
Well, I think it's too early for me to anticipate. As you know, we're in the first year, almost into the first year of a three-year budget agreement.
Which is the second of the three-year agreements, right?
The second consecutive three-year agreement, yeah. So
that provides for pay, for funding, for budgets, for all your stuff,
For everything that we have. It helped us.
And so you can plan,
the county,
right?
To understand exactly where we're going to be. So what I'm saying is we're in the first year of it, and then our second year starts in October, and the cuts wouldn't take effect until the third year. So my anticipation is that the second year will follow through with the agreement. The third year is when the property tax cuts are going to be. So what is my thoughts on that? I have not had a conversation with the Board of County Commissioner because those would require some negotiations, some comments.
Sure.
I know that the amendment itself talks about you can fund first responders and certain things, and so we certainly will be one of the ones that will have to have that conversation with the Board of County Commissioners. I will tell you that 92% of our budget is personnel, and so if you're talking cuts, then 92% is a pretty high number from a personnel standpoint. But I'm not ready yet to say that we'll have to cut deputies, because we quite frankly don't know here in Escambia County. We're in a different situation than they are in Santa Rosa County. They have a MSTU that funds them. We have we basically negotiate with the county, and we do have that three year agreement. And it seems to me like we're for year one. Obviously, it's not going to be impacted. Year two shouldn't be impacted because the tax cuts aren't going to take effect until later. And then year three is when we're going to start having those conversations in earnest with the Board of County Commissioners. I will tell you that I don't want property tax either. I guess my wish is that they would eliminate property tax altogether and then fund it some other way. But that's not where we're at, and we have a vote is looming in November, and I'm sure there will be a number of conversations that the Board of County Commissioners and the county administrator is going to have, and I'm assuming we'll be part of some of those a bit down the road.
I'm going to ask you a completely unfair question that is outside of your zone of authority at the moment, and you can feel free to ignore my question and say, I just can't comment on that. That's fine. County budget is over $800 million, but not all of that is general fund. Okay. Right. In fact, a lot of it is not.
A lot of grants, a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah. But you were the assistant county administrator, for a while. You oversaw corrections, among other things. And your thought as an outsider but former insider, is there $90 million worth of fat and waste and excess and fraud that can just be trimmed out with no effect on services?
Well, I certainly don't think I would characterize it as waste and fraud, and those certainly are pretty extreme words. But I can tell you that everyone can look at their budget, and if you like you do your home budget, you have to look at it. If you can't do this, you got to have a car. So let's prioritize a car. I think that there are things that can be changed. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a big amount of money there, and again, a lot of it is grant money. But let me give you an example. Where our FRS rates, or Florida Retirement System rates, that we have to pay, are going to go up an additional $2 million starting in July of this year
by statute,
so,
right?
So it's going to be difficult to even keep our budget static, right? Or an entity's budget static. Ours is that much. So I'm assuming that the county's also going to have to come up with that much money for the corrections officers, for firefighters, EMTs. So there's a lot of money that they have no choice over. They have to fund these things. I personally, from a bias standpoint, put law enforcement in that. Mm-hmm. I think that you have to really make sure that we have a safe society. And we've made great strides over the last couple of years with regards to the number of deputies on the streets. We're not where I think we should be with our population, with our population growth. But I do think that there is, there's always some things that can be done. and you have to prioritize what's important.
Okay. Well, it's obviously we're going to have a long conversation about this over the next several months. I anticipate your local governments, including the Escambia County Commission, to have some frank disclosures and conversations and tell us, what would your plan be? Where do you see cuts happening? What they think they can accommodate, where they might shift costs, all of that kind of stuff. So, right. We'll see going forward. But I don't think that anybody is looking at Escambia and Santa Rosa and saying what we need is less law enforcement. But,
I hope not.
We'll see. We'll see. Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir, thank you for the time. Thanks for indulging my unusual questions. I know you always do. Thanks for keeping us safe, sir. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
All right. 755 News Radio 92.3. Jordan has got traffic on the fives.
Yeah, road's still looking pretty good right now, but if you do see anything, you can always let us know. 850-437-1620. I'm Jordan with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jordan. If you need any kind of video work done, and this can be for anything. This could be you're a homeowner and you want to get a video of the exterior of your home, including the surrounding area, from the air so that you have it in case a hurricane hits and you've got to file a property damage claim. Pelican drones can do that. You got a meeting that you want to video all the participants and you want to put together a package on that. Pelican drones can do that. You say, well, it's not drones. I know. They do ground-based stuff all the time. You want to do a walkthrough or a fly-through of your business or of your boat that you're trying to sell or of a home that you're trying to sell or of a subdivision that you're trying to market or of a training for your employees. Again, all of these things, if it's video and it requires shooting it and then editing it, Pelican Drones does that. They work with huge companies. I mean, everybody from FDOT, Portofino, Visit Alabama, FPL, Innisfree, Netflix, HGTV, and, your neighbor Bob down the street, everybody. You can buy their services by the hour, by the half day, by the full day, and then you own it when they're done. And they can make it the 20-second for, Instagram, the 50-second for Facebook, whatever for TikTok. The point is they can make different ones, and then, again, you own it when they're all done. Find out more at Pelican Drones, pelicandrones.com.
Tune in today at 10 as Ray Palmer with Pensacola Sports will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Pensacola Sports' focus has and always will be on education, inspiration, and participation in various team, individual, amateur, and professional sports activities. Tune in today at 10 as Pensacola Sports will be discussing the upcoming events that are on their calendar.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
So Ryan and I came to the decision to get life insurance when I was pregnant with our first son. He really wanted us to be taken care of if something happened to him. He provided for our family in life and also after his death. I think that would make him proud. Ethos makes it fast and easy to get life insurance. Apply in minutes and get same day coverage.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid testimonial. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
Join Vinny Matassa and Helen Council from Kana O'Donovan Real Estate tomorrow at 10:30 on Pep Talk. Vinny and Helen work with buyers, sellers, and investors. Learn about today's real estate market. Get an inside look at the condo market and hear about short-term rental information for investors on Pep Talk tomorrow morning at 10:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio Team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Treat yourself. It's the best day of the year.
Good morning, 7:58, News Radio 92.3. So you heard it there, Sheriff Simmons having a slightly different approach to the question of what he would have to do if the property tax referendum issue passed, saying it was too early to tell, whereas rather famously now Bob Johnson yesterday said that thinks he would definitely have to cut deputies. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Bill Gates will testify about his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein at a congressional hearing tomorrow. The billionaire Microsoft founder will appear in a closed-door hearing of the House Oversight Committee. Gates showed up in pictures with Epstein in a Justice Department release last year. He said he's met with Epstein multiple times starting in 2011. Israel launching new airstrikes on the Lebanese city of Tyre yesterday. And the renewed attacks coming a day after Israel and Iran exchanged strikes. And Andrew, scientists releasing a new study that recommends Americans limit alcohol consumption Researchers say they found drinking more than one drink per day increases the lifetime risk of alcohol-related diseases and injuries. I feel like I've heard that before somewhere.
Well, I still prefer to believe the ones that say a little bit is good for you.
There we go.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.